Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rayhorn and Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. News breaking right now. Literally just moments ago from Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, the Packers are signing running back Ryan Grant. To talk about that, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who joins us every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. You know, I was all set to ask you about the Packers platoon at running back. They had Alex Green and James Starks sharing carries the last game, and it's all kind of moot now. The Packers have signed Ryan Grant, and if I'm correct, he actually played in a few games with the Washington Redskins earlier this season. What do you think Ryan Grant has left in the tank after being cut by the Redskins and unsigned by the Packers earlier in the season?
Well, I think the Packers wanted to move on to younger running backs, so I wasn't all that surprised when Ryan Grant didn't re-sign. In his time with the Redskins, he only played one offensive snap the entire season so far. So the Redskins, they have some really good young running backs as well. So teams in general have been moving to younger, fresh running backs. Although Grant at this point of time should be pretty fresh because he hasn't really seen the field much this season. And then also last year, when Starks was injured, he had 276 yards on 50 carries, so that's a 5.5 rushing average, which is really good, and that was just a year ago at this point.
So how much are the Packers going to miss James Starks? Of course, the news breaking last night that it looks like James Starks may be lost for the year with a knee injury. Do they miss James Starks? Has he been playing well? And how has Alex Green been doing? Because it looks like the Packers going to lean on him probably, at least for the time being.
They were both playing all right over these past couple of weeks. Green had a higher rushing average, but Starks was having a little bit more big plays as he had more players miss tackles on him. Something that I've really liked about Green is over the past 5 weeks, he has not had a single carry for negative yards, where Starks had seven over that time, but Starks had more big play potential. So Green has been a more consistent back, and he's also been more consistent in pass protection. So I don't think they'll miss Starks all that much other than a couple of potential big plays.
You know, the Packers trying to get this run game going, doing so with a new member on the Packers offensive line. Don Barclay got his first action of the year this past Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. How did the rookie perform?
I wasn't as impressed with Barclay as everyone else seemed to be. First off, he had two holding penalties, which one was offsetting and the other was declined, so those two penalties weren't talked about as much, but they were still a negative impact on his Pro Football Focus grade. In terms of pressure, he didn't allow any sacks or hits, but he still allowed three hurries on his 27 pass blocks. So that's allowing a pressure on 11.1% of his pass blocks, which even though is on a small sample size, still isn't as good as TJ Lang, who has been allowing pressure on 7.9% of his pass blocks while he's been at right tackle, while he's allowed even less pressure while he was at left guard. And then in terms of the run game, because of two of his poor blocks, that led to a tackle for a loss and a tackle for a short gain, while there were also two plays where he had positive blocks, which influenced the run game positively. So I wouldn't say that it was a great game. I would still prefer to see TJ Lang out there, but I also don't think it was a terrible game, and the Packers could survive if Lang isn't able to play.
Well, Barclay is just a rookie, so, you know, with the first action, maybe he'll get better, and we'll see as the season goes on here. Turning to the defensive side of the football, in terms of stopping the run, is there reason to be concerned with the Packers' run defense after Adrian Peterson rushed for more than 200 yards this past Sunday?
Of course, there's a little reason to be concerned any time that a defense allows 200 rushing yards, but I don't think the Packers need to be overly concerned because, on one hand, the only time that they'll face a running back as good as Adrian Peterson again is when they play Adrian Peterson in a few weeks from now. In terms of potential playoff matchups, San Francisco is the only team that really relies on the run game, and they have excellent run blockers there, so the Packers might be concerned when and if they play San Francisco in the playoffs. Another reason they didn't do so well is because of their missed tackles, but that's uncharacteristic for the Packers' run defense. On the season, they've only had 22 missed tackles in the run game, which is an average of having a missed tackle on 7.2% of run plays, which is the fifth lowest rate in the league. And then the only player who's been consistently missing tackles is Morgan Burnett, but then he made up for it later at other points in the past game.
Well, let's talk about the defensive backfield a little bit. While the rush defense gave up a lot of yards, at least this past week, the pass defense did pretty well, notably not giving up a catch to a wide receiver until the fourth quarter. Everybody was kind of following that stat if you were watching the game. Who's to credit for the good pass defense?
Basically, everyone can be credited in the secondary. First off, to start with the players with perfect games, Tremont Williams and Casey Hayward were both only targeted once each in the entire game, and both of them were able to have a pass defense on that one target, so neither of them allowed a catch and did a good job on the very few opportunities that they had to make good plays. Devon House was targeted 6 times throughout the game and then allowed 2 late catches by Jerome Simpson, and also had a pass defended, so that overall is a good game, only allowing 2 catches on 6 targets. Then there was Morgan Burnett, who was targeted most of all, with 7 targets and allowed 4 catches for 57 yards, which isn't that good, but then made up for it with 2 interceptions and a pass defended. So their coverage has really been the strength of the team coming down the stretch, even without Charles Woodson and Sam Shields playing.
All right, this upcoming Sunday, the Packers take on the Detroit Lions. It'll be the second time they face them this season after, you know, facing them just a few weeks ago in Detroit. This time the Packers get them at home. What can we expect out of the Lions team? They've lost some games lately. Are they still a dangerous team?
I think they can still be a dangerous team in this game. Matthew Stafford has played a lot better these past 2 weeks than he did in the game against Green Bay, which part of that's because the last 2 teams he's faced has had not as good secondaries. But I think he can still cause the Packers problems, as the Lions are a great pass-blocking offense, so the Packers shouldn't get much of any pressure the entire game. However, the Lions have also been losing some of their receivers, so they can spend even more attention on Calvin Johnson than a team typically does, with how many injuries the Lions have had at the position. On their defensive side of the ball, they still have plenty of weaknesses in the secondary, but Ndamukong Suh has had his 2 best games in the pros these past 2 weeks. So the Packers really need to focus on their interior pass protection, as the interior pass rush could really cause problems for the Packers offense.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning, as you do every week here at Railbird Central. Talk about the Ryan Grant signing, and thanks for talking to us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, again, joining us here as he does every Wednesday at Railbird Central. So glad to have him. Glad to have you joining us on the show today, the listener. So let's get down to it. Let's talk about this Ryan Grant signing, this at least reported Ryan Grant signing. I don't think your comments are being approved this morning, so I apologize. Those of you listening to the live show at CheeseheadTV.com, you're just going to have to bear with us. Somebody might pop in eventually here and approve some comments, but we'll talk through it regardless here. And by the way, if you do want to join the conversation, by all means, feel free to call the phone number that is listed on the screen there, 608-403-5255. If you want to talk about the Ryan Grant signing, feel free. the news from Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com literally just before the show started that the Packers were going to sign Ryan Grant. And, of course, this comes after the news that yesterday, Jason Wilde with the news as well, that the Packers might be losing James Starks for the season. And it was kind of a time when James Starks was just starting to heat up a little bit. Of course, he had the injury early in the season, missed the first, what was it, half dozen games or so, didn't play at all whatsoever. And then kind of the Packers have an injury to Cedric Benson, and it was kind of almost fortuitous that, you know, James Starks comes back, and, you know, it was a little slow at first, didn't play a whole lot when he first came back, but slowly gaining steam more and more, and then this past game against the Minnesota Vikings, you know, does pretty well. You know, the Packers went to him especially more so in the second half after he had a pretty good outing, and things were looking up. But, of course, with James Starks, the issue always is the injuries, isn't it? I mean, it's just almost unavoidable. James Starks, it's saying that dates back to his college career. He missed his entire senior season with the shoulder injury. Everybody will remember his rookie season where he missed the first, 9, 10, 11 weeks of the season as he was on the PUP list. And, of course, he comes back from that with a hamstring injury and, you know, was the big factor in the Packers run, you know, pushed through the playoffs into the Super Bowl and, you know, a big hero there. And everybody will never forget what he did for the Packers there. No matter what happens in the future with James Starks, he'll always be remembered fondly for that. And, you know, last year he dealt with some injury issues, not major ones, but again, just more injury issues, and then this year, and now his season might be ended. And again, I should mention that nothing is official right now, that, you know, James Starks has not yet been placed on injured reserve. But with news of the signing of Ryan Grant, it looks like almost a given that he'll be lost for the season. Be interesting to see what the Packers do at the running back position going forward. This is the third Packers running back that's been placed on injured reserve this year. Of course, Cedric Benson was lost for the year, and while there were hopes for a while that he might be able to return, those hopes were recently dashed when it was learned he'd stay on injured reserve the rest of the year. On top of that, James Starks now just being placed on injured reserve, or, you know, presumably. And then earlier in the season, of course, and it's kind of flew under the radar because he wasn't a heavy contributor, but Brandon Sane was placed on injured reserve too. Kind of a guy coming out of training camp you thought might have a little bit of a bright future. And he actually, you know, as of now, would probably be relied upon at the running back position. But because he's on IR, he won't be playing. So the Packers going to basically, at least for this game, at least for this week against the Detroit Lions, going to be relying heavily on Alex Green, a guy who's contributed to the Packers all year long and has had his moments with the Packers. Of course, you know, I think his biggest moment was like he had a 41-yard run at midseason. And then he kind of had a stretch of games where he didn't do too much, and he was kind of demoted and fell behind James Starks in the pecking order. And now the past few weeks, again, kind of sharing carries. But he'll definitely carry the load going forward. It's a question of now, what does Ryan Grant bring to the Packers? You know, Ryan Grant, people know him well if you're in Packer land. I mean, he was the Packers' leading rusher for like three straight seasons from 2007 to 2009, had back-to-back 1,200-yard rushing seasons. That was kind of his heyday. And then, of course, the Super Bowl season, he's injured in week one with an ankle injury and never comes back that year. And, you know, ends up coming back last year in 2011, but, you know, just, you know, did average, nothing above average. And there was always kind of the thoughts that, you know, would the Packers sign Ryan Grant this season? And they've had several opportunities to do so and never did until finally we're in December and now they sign Ryan Grant. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, think back to training camp before the Packers signed Cedric Benson. You know, there was, you're kind of thinking at the time, you know, can they go with James Starks and Alex Green all year long? They could really use a veteran at the position. And, you know, people speculated, will they sign Ryan Grant? But Packers go with Cedric Benson instead. And then you'd think maybe, okay, maybe when Brandon Sane went down for the year and injured reserve, you thought, okay, will they pick up Ryan Grant as a person to fill his spot on the roster, even though he might not be a major contributor? Nope, didn't happen. And finally, now when James Starks placed on IR, now they sign Ryan Grant. And, you know, what does he have left in the tank? Is he going to help him? You know, obviously, I don't think he's going to help this week. I mean, he might be active this week, and he certainly knows the Packers' offense, but he hasn't played, at least in several weeks. And, he knows the offense, but, you know, it'll take a little while to get the conditioning back. He's going to have to learn all the tweaks to the offense. So, you know, it's probably something where he could be active, but definitely not going to be relied upon, especially if Alex Green is fine and can, you know, take the bulk of the load this upcoming Sunday against the Lions. But, you know, I would think Ryan Grant would become more and more a part of the offense as the season goes on, just because of his knowledge. I mean, he showed last year at times and stretches that he can be effective. And you know, this year, as we talked about with Nathan Jahnke, Ryan Grant did sign with the Washington Redskins, and isn't that hilarious? He played one snap from scrimmage this year. Or, I mean, I don't know, maybe he played more on special teams. I certainly didn't follow him closely when he played with the Redskins. But, I mean, not playing much at all with them and you know, eventually getting cut. Of course, Alfred Morris there at Washington kind of has emerged as, you know, really one of the better running backs in the NFL this year. So they don't have much of a use for Ryan Grant. But, you know, he's going to come here and he's going to play basically a backup role. But, you know, that backup role could be important. You know, maybe it gets to a point where he's sharing carries with Alex Green as time goes on. And, you know, of course, the Packers are always going to rely on the pass. But the more and more they see these, you know, this cover two with the safeties deep. And, it's going to be a thing where the Packers are going to be almost forced to run because they see the back seven playing so deep and they're playing in coverage that's an opportunity for you to have success in the run game. And maybe they're not reeling off 10 yards of carry for every run they have, but if the Packers can get 4 or 5 yards of carry a crack and, you know, just keep the chains moving and getting positive yardage and grinding the clock, that those are all good things, and I can see him doing that. And that has them running more. You know, they're just responding to what the defense gives them. And that could certainly be the case going forward. And in that case, Ryan Grant does get a fair amount of carries, perhaps. The story here isn't strictly around Ryan Grant and Alex Green. I mean, what do the Packers do with the other running backs on the roster? Well, you know, of course, they have fullback John Kuhn, who will continue to play his regular fullback role with the Packers. But, you know, of course, he's kind of been playing a third down back role. And while he's maybe not your what you think of as a traditional third down back, he's ultra reliable in pass protection, which is why the Packers use him there. And he's good with the ball in his hands. I mean, if they got to throw him a toss out of the backfield, you're confident John Kuhn is going to catch the ball. He's got good hands. So that's why the Packers use him there. You shake your head with the carries they give him, especially this past week. They gave him like the delayed handoff there. What am I thinking of? The word's not even coming to my mind right now. That you just kind of shake your head and you wonder why they're doing that, especially on like first and 10. I mean, or draw play. There we go. duh. They run the draw play to John Kuhn. I don't understand why. If they're going to run a draw play, I mean, do it to Alex Green. you want to slam John Kuhn into the line on third and one, feel free. But if you're going to run a draw play, just run it with Alex Green. He's going to be so much better and faster and you know, a chance to break one with him. But John Kuhn will play, no doubt about it. You know, he'll be that third down back. You know, question is, you know, do the Packers play at all with their other running backs on the roster now? They signed Johnny White several weeks ago. I think that's who replaced Brandon Sane on the roster. Johnny White's been playing special teams for the Packers for several weeks. I don't think he's gotten a snap from scrimmage on offense, to my knowledge, or a carry for that matter, all year long. I've missed it if he has. But they do have him. And then just this week, the Packers signed Duwan Harris off their practice squad, a guy who played sparingly with the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, and of course was on the practice squad this season. Now, those guys have been with the Packers for several weeks and should at least have a general knowledge of the offense and should know what they're doing, you hope at least. Maybe not perfectly, but you know, they can come there and run a couple plays if need be. But are they a threat at all for playing time? Hard to tell. Johnny White missed this past week against the Vikings with a concussion. He actually wasn't even active, which kind of interesting. You kind of thought maybe you would start to see him a little bit, and here's this big opportunity. But now his health is in question. And you know, Duwan Harris, the Packers signed him to the active roster because they almost had to fill it with all the injuries they've been having. He actually was the only player, him and Graham Harrell, who didn't play against the Vikings, suited up and never played. So, you know, the Packers really not showing any trust yet in either Johnny White or Duwan Harris, but you know, maybe they'll be forced to going forward. It'd be interesting to see, you know, do they think, you know, they haven't signed Ryan Grant all this time, that they must think Duwan Harris and Johnny White are better options, and is Ryan Grant strictly an emergency, strictly a fallback option? Just interesting about, you know, Ryan Grant though, his whole career, and you know, it seemed to have come full circle, and he seemed to be on the outs with the Packers, and you know, now he's coming back and has a chance, you know, potentially to be a hero with the Packers again. You know, just being a skill position player, those guys get all the glory, they get all the attention because they touch the ball. I mean, you don't hear about offensive linemen a whole lot. Sometimes you don't hear about defenders a whole lot just because they don't touch the ball. But, you know, if you're a running back and you carry 20 times a game, there's the chance, you know, the announcer is always, you know, saying your name. And heck, if you score a few touchdowns, that's when you really get the adulation. And the potential's there with Ryan Grant. And you know, it's hard to say what his impact will be. I think his role will grow more and more as time goes on, and who knows, by the playoffs, he could be, you know, sharing carries with Alex Green, and you know, who knows? Dre Divac, DJ Protege STL on our live blog, tweeting in, I don't think Starks will be back next season. And that certainly could be the case. Now, where do the Packers go with James Starks? I mean, his injury history is simply a lot to overcome. You know, what happens next year? I'm trying to think even if James Starks would be under contract, probably under his rookie contract. Yeah, he would be under contract next season in 2013 with the Packers. So it's not as if like they have to make a decision about signing him. He'll be back. It's just, you know, whether the Packers want to take a chance or not. And you know, it's tough because his injury history is so long, you know, with the Packers and even before. And how long can you simply rely on that? I mean, we've seen these, you know, kind of situations before, you know, with other players. And, you know, Justin Harrell comes to mind, Packers' former first-round draft choice, who was just oft injured and could never get on the field with the Packers. And even when he did, then it was for, you know, just games at a time before he got injured again. And it seems to be the same way with James Starks. Now, Justin Harrell, kind of a different case in that he was a first-round draft choice and there was a whole lot more invested there. But I mean, when you're talking about investing roster spots in the players, I mean, can the Packers come back next season? And you know, let's just assume James Starks comes back from injury, gets through the offseason, gets through training camp next year. But then you have to decide whether he's worth keeping on the roster. Is he worth, you know, giving a job to over somebody else when there's the possibility he's just going to get injured again? Because that's what history tells you. You know, that's what history tells you is going to happen. And you know, it's a difficult choice, and I don't envy the Packers and general manager Teb Thompson having to make that choice. I mean, given James Starks' injury history, I think you just got to move on. You got to look ahead, and I don't know what you do at the running back position next year. Obviously, next year you'll have Alex Green. You know, you're not cutting him. He's a guy who's young and could still put things together and be good for you. And at the very least, he's a veteran who knows the offense and can be, you know, fill in a role there. Even if he's not the featured back, he could be a backup. So Alex Green's a given. But what do you do besides that? I mean, do you stick with James Starks next year? Do you re-sign Cedric Benson next year? And I think just yesterday, Aaron Rodgers talked about on his weekly radio show at the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee that he would advocate for signing Cedric Benson again next year. And, you know, maybe the Packers have no choice but to do that. I mean, you can certainly draft a rookie, but I mean, with any rookie, there's, you know, the possibility things might not pan out or, you know, they're just not ready. So it's, you know, back to square one almost at the running back position for the Packers, you know, now and in the future as well. Just a really unsettled position. And who knows what they do going forward here? Who knows? Maybe they're better off, you know, signing a rookie free agent or something. So those have a way of working out in the NFL. It's the late round draft choices and even the undrafted ones who seem to be having a lot of success in the NFL as running backs. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the route the Packers are going to go, but who knows? Who knows? Interesting situation here at running back that's, you know, taken up most of the discussion here this morning with the Packers. You know, they're coming off a win against the Minnesota Vikings, which is great. And then everybody lost who you hoped would lose, you know. The Bears lost, and now the Packers are in first place in the NFC North, and the Lions lost their upcoming opponent this week, and so things are looking up for the Packers, and now they got the Detroit Lions again. Of course, you know, any win within the division is big, and the Packers just want to win every game from here on out. The opportunity is there for the Packers to possibly get the second seed in the NFC. They're a half a game behind the San Francisco 49ers right now, who actually have, you know, what is it, an 8-3-1 record. They actually have the tie. And so by virtue of a tie, that's actually better than a loss. So the Packers are behind them there. So they'd have to leapfrog them and hope the 49ers lose. But, I mean, again, the possibility's there for the Packers to get the second seed. Of course, if they get the second seed, they get the bye. And then they also get the home game in the divisional round of the playoffs. So, I mean, I think you want these things. Yes, Packers lost in the playoffs last year in the divisional round, hosting a game against the New York Giants. But, you know, you got to hope that they, you know, get the home game. And you know, that's what you want. You want the time off. It's time for the team to recover, even though maybe it kills momentum a little bit. But, you know, momentum will be built the final weeks of the season here. If they can put together a winning streak, you know, against the Lions this week, the Bears next week is going to be huge, of course, because, you know, they're the biggest threat in the NFC North, and it's going to be on the road. So, I think the Packers can beat the Bears, but I don't think it's going to be easy or a given. Bears do have a good defense, even now what it looks like without Brian Urlacher. But still, I mean, you can't overlook any game in the NFL. As they say, any given Sunday, and there's just weird games where you don't expect teams to lose, and they do. But Packers looking to gain some momentum here as the season wraps up. Get that momentum and take it into the playoffs. And if they could win the rest of the games, they'd be set up nicely for the playoffs, especially if they could get that bye. That would sure be nice. I think they could take that momentum in and run with it. They don't have to, but it sure would be nice if they would. You know, it would be tough to overcome if they didn't have that momentum, you know, carrying them through. But the Packers looking here for a win this upcoming Sunday. We'll talk more about that game this upcoming Friday here on Railbird Central. Our guest on Friday will be J.R. Hansen of Studio 77 Productions. He produced a new Packers musical CD called Packer Party. We're going to talk to him about that project. He'll be joining us on Friday, and we'll be talking more against the Packers' upcoming game against the Detroit Lions. So we'll talk about that then. On behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV, we'll see you later. I'm Brian Caravu. Make sure to, you know, stick to Cheesehead TV for all your Packers news needs. I think we got a post up just while the show is going on about the signing of Ryan Grant. So make sure to check that out. We'll be switching the homepage back over so you can see that. But anyway, my name's Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Words by Humphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.